11 minutes after 9, you've got it on KHUM, and our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign continues this week. We're dealing with male privilege as our topic, and joining me here in the studio, a veteran of the campaign, Paula Arrowsmith-Jones from North Coast Rape Crisis Team. Good morning.
Good morning, Cliff.
Thanks for coming in here.
I'm really happy to be here.
So, as we were talking, one of the main reasons we chose this topic for this week is the fact that a major candidate for president has openly admitted that he sexually assaults women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that goes to, you know, sexual assault in general that that often is associated with male privilege.
Right. And I think that what he has revealed and said clearly was that because I am famous, and by implication, because I have power, I can use that to take what I want, get what I want. And while that was a horrific example for all of us to ponder and figure out how we feel about it, it's not different from the attitudes that exist across our culture in many different ways.
Now, one thing I would like to bring up, we talked about this a little bit off air before the campaign, is that you know, a lot of men feel that this is male bashing. This is you know, say basically pointing the finger at all men, that all men are this way. That is absolutely not true.
Right. In fact, I would say those of us at North Coast Rape Crisis Team, we certainly serve men and honor the choices that men make not to be violent, just as we would honor any human being's choice not to be violent. It's just that we have to hold all the several things true at the same time. And it's not to say there is no good or bad gender.
Mm-hmm.
It's socialization that promotes certain placements of privilege. And any person, so myself as a white-appearing person, I hold an unearned privilege, and then it's my responsibility to figure out how to not use that, not abuse that, and to actually promote equality. And so I would say to men, it's not to take on a sense of guilt as a gender. It's to have an awareness that there are moments and spaces where you're holding up an unearned privilege that you yourself can take responsibility for and not use it in some way.
In this campaign, in previous years, we've actually talked about white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
There is privilege. Whether it is abused or not, it's there.
Right.
Same with being male. I mean, there just is male privilege. It is part of society, and for so long, you know, men have been, it's been a very patriarchal society.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it is just, you know, in recent years, you know, women are gaining a more equal status, but it's still hardwired almost into the social upbringing of so many of us.
Yeah, and I think a couple things get in the way of having open discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
One is, similar with white privilege, men can sometimes feel a sense of guilt for past generations. And I want to say that we're certainly not asking for that. That's not actually helpful. It's more acknowledging, recognizing, and making a choice to change that on an individual and a societal level, to say that unearned privilege is not really serving anyone. I wanted to say, back to the political situation, I personally feel that not only were women clearly disrespected by the comments that we heard on that tape, I feel that men are also being disrespected by that point of view, because it presupposes that men cannot help themselves, that they don't have their own individual power to make choices about the way they interact in the world. And I just don't believe that. I think our boys are born as beautiful as our girls.
Well, that's the thing. We are human beings, and everything we do is a choice.
Yes.
You know, we don't operate on instinct. We have choice.
Right.
And so, yes, everything we do is a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that certainly includes violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I talk to young men often in the work that I do where they genuinely don't feel particularly privileged, particularly young men of color who are simultaneously holding privilege and dealing with being oppressed. And that's true for many of us where we're in sure. multiple positions at the same time. But what I've learned from the young men is that part of why they're not aware of the privilege always is because relative to a slightly older man who has certain successes and established himself, relative to those men, the younger men don't feel privileged. So then what we ask is then they turn and look, but relative to the women in your lives, can you see that there are certain freedoms, for example, that you experience walking down the street and not anticipating a sexual assault, not having grown up being given a list of all the ways to avoid sexual assault, and not blamed for daring to walk down the street if one then is sexually assaulted. And I want to name clearly, sexual assault is certainly something that happens to boys and men, to people of every gender identity, as well as girls and women. It's just that at the same time, it's true that there's a very distinct gendered issue going on where it is mostly girls and women that are on the receiving end of violence, and most of that violence is men's violence.
Now, another thing to mention is that most people do not commit sexual assault.
Correct.
It is a small minority. But people who do, often feel this is how it is. This is how we are. A clear example of that was Donald Trump's explanation of the Access Hollywood video, saying this is just locker room talk. Everybody talks like that. And the reality, there was such a backlash from, so many men who came out and said, I'm in professional sports. I'm in a locker room. We never talk that way. I've never talked that way in my life. And most men that I know never have talked like that. It's shocking that
right.
you say to basically place all men in that same boat. It's like, whoa, we would like to distance ourselves. But the viewpoint, I guess, of those who would perpetrate sexual assault is that's the way all of us are.
Yeah, and I think that's what I meant by how disrespectful of men. Mm-hmm. I think that those kinds of comments are to say that, oh, that's just how guys are. I know that the work that we do at Humboldt State University with the Check It student movement to change culture on campus, that there are athletes and Greek members and men across campus who are as involved as women on campus, who, if they were to hear something like that in a, quote, locker room or any male space, a male-only kind of space, they have taken upon themselves to think about, could I challenge that? How could I challenge that moment? That is a so-called check it moment, a moment to check in and reduce harm happening. So even if it occurs sometimes in male-only spaces that such disrespectful things are said, some men stand up to that and say, hey, I'm not really down with that.
And that's a really good point. I mean, that goes back to so many different things, such as like racist comments and whatnot,
yes.
where we shouldn't just let those just kind of roll off and just say, well, it's just people being people. And we should say, wait a second, that's not okay.
Right.
And if we're in a situation where, someone is talking that way about women, it's really important for men who don't feel that way to say, wait a minute, that's not okay.
Right. And in fact, I think when we are a member of a group that has privilege in some way, it's absolutely our responsibility to speak up and name clearly, especially to our peers, I'm not going along with that. And holding somebody accountable and responsible for what they say, what they think, and what they do. And we all can get, kind of misled by the things that we were taught. But we each have a responsibility, especially by the time we're adults, to be able to say, gosh, I was taught some stuff that really isn't okay. I was taught some stuff that doesn't make sense, and I can make a difference by changing that.
You make a really good point there, because, you know, we there are certain things that we learn growing up that generally, when you learn something when you're younger, you don't generally challenge it. It's just kind of part of what's there. Mm-hmm. But there are things that all of a sudden your eyes can be open and say, wait a minute, maybe this is not right.
Yeah.
You know, especially folks who are like, you know, my age, who grew up in a time when, you know, a woman's place was in the home.
Correct.
Women didn't work. You know, this was, it was a different world.
Yeah, it was. You know, and it makes me think about when I was a child, my family took a trip to the South to see family, and I ran up to a water fountain. And just as I was about to drink out of it, my mother grabbed me and said, no, you can't drink out of that fountain. And as it turned out, it was a fountain that said colored only. And she directed me to one that said white only. Now, I was a little kid. I didn't understand. And what I thought in that moment was that something was happening to me. How come I am not allowed? And it was when I was slightly older and after having people explain it to me that I understood I was not the one being oppressed. I was not the one being kept from something. And so I would invite men to think about the moments when you look back in your life. Have there been moments where it kind of clarified, oh, my sister does walk in a different world. My mother was kept in a certain position. Whatever that true thing in your life is. And know that when a woman is asserting her right to move up and move out and live in the world free, it's not taking something from you. That comes up every year when we do Take Back the Night. Some men feel that women are trying to take the night from them instead of understanding that it's about taking it back for ourselves as freely as men can move through space and time.
There are also, some men who feel that as women gain equality, that they are losing something. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, the more people who come up in the world, the better off the world is. There's no shortage.
Right.
It's not like it's like okay, well, there's only so much goodness in the world, so I'm afraid we're gonna have to lose some so you can move up in the world. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that's that feeling of scarcity I think that we get into, where it's like grasping and clinging on to things that we think we have to have, instead of knowing that if I can promote the idea of equality and freedom for all, that does directly benefit me. And so it's not a selfless act. It's what's absolutely essential to the to humankind, to our existence.
So let's get back to sexual assault, because what brought this subject to the forefront was obviously the Republican candidate. But most of sexual assault comes from people who are not famous.
Right.
You know, people who are just people.
Right.
And at the same time, privilege does come into play.
Right. So in the situation in the campaign, clearly you're talking about people with a lot of power and a lot of privilege.
Right.
And misusing that and abusing it. But we all have those moments in our lives where we are positioned in a way that we could choose to take advantage of that privilege and use it against somebody. And what we're inviting people to think about is doing the opposite of that, recognizing privilege and realizing it really, if I hold a privilege, it's really not mine to hold, and letting go of the idea that I am entitled somehow to be higher than someone else, because that's really, sexual assault really is a message of power over somebody and establishing a hierarchy. And the message clearly is, the rapist is really saying to whoever they're assaulting, I matter and you don't. and here's how I'm going to prove it to you. I do what I want, and there is nothing you can do about it. And it doesn't get more clear in life than that, that that is about establishing power over somebody. And that arises in part out of this idea that some people are entitled to have more and to make decisions at the cost and expense of other people.
Now, the other thing I want to make clear, because another thing that was brought up by this 2005 video, there was seemed to be some controversy as to what is sexual assault. And they said, it's not like he was knocking people down and forcibly raping them. I mean, it's, a grope is a sexual assault. An unwelcomed kiss is a sexual assault.
Right. Because what it comes down to is any sexual act without that person's free will and knowing consent. And the position of power that was held by him when he was doing these things is the thing that takes away the free will consent of somebody else. And that would be true in a workplace. It could be true in a teacher-student relationship. It's true in lots of different places in ordinary people's lives where somebody holds a position that allows them to think that they get to do what they want, when in fact, no, they don't. And consent wasn't present in what he was describing. And, you know, I'm sorry, but grabbing somebody's genitals in the way that he said that, that's force, and that is going to create fear. And those are the specific elements in the definition of sexual assault. I also want to say, for the sake of the listeners, that we at the North Coast Rape Crisis Team are not a political organization in terms of who we serve. Whatever somebody's whether one views themselves on the spectrum of progressive to conservative, our services are available to everyone, and everyone would be treated with respect. What we're talking about today
is behavior.
The behaviors and the comments of one specific person who is an example of the way that power and privilege and entitlement works out in the lives of ordinary people.
And the reason we bring it up is because it is so prevalent. It's so well known. It's hard to find anyone who has not seen or heard this. And
right.
it makes it a very, very clear focus point in order to discuss this.
Yeah, and I think one of the telling things in that tape was that he said something about, I forget if he said celebrity or famous, but because I am this, I get to, and quote, they will let you. Well, those people that were being grabbed, groped, assaulted, they weren't letting it happen.
It was just happening.
It was happening to them. And it makes me saddened, and it affects other survivors when the community at large is not necessarily believing the women that have come forward. So I want to say to survivors out there of any gender, we believe you and know that these things do happen, and that it's important to come from that place of understanding and believing that these things occur.
And you bring up a good point about people coming forward. At least 12 women have come forward and to talk about this, and many of these incidents has happened, you know, many years in the past. That, in and of itself, has caused a lot of criticism, that these people are coming forward for political motivation. I would like you to address why someone would hesitate to come forward after being sexually assaulted.
Well, I think in general, survivors of violence, regardless of their gender, are blamed and shamed for what they did or didn't do before the assault. So, well, why didn't you avoid it somehow? They're blamed and shamed for what they did or didn't do during the assault. For example, why didn't you fight harder or resist? And they're blamed and shamed for what they do or don't do afterwards. You should have reported, you shouldn't have reported. most survivors don't immediately come forward. They would have to be able to trust systems and communities to be available for something that's going to feel somewhat supportive. And the women that have come forward, and look back at the Bill Cosby case or many others, they come forward and they get trashed. So that says to other survivors, well, if those people aren't believed, I'm probably not going to be believed. And to the women that are where these incidents happened 30 years ago, I can tell you for myself, when I was 18, I went to work for a large corporation. Sexual harassment, not unlike the kinds of things he's talking about, were pervasive in my workplace. And the term sexual harassment didn't exist. And so we have to remember that part of why they didn't come forward was the context of the time in which it happened. But even for someone now, they know that they're going to be judged by people. And it's hard enough to get through the assault without also having to endure people questioning you and wondering if you somehow brought it on yourself.
Yeah, it's tough. It's coming forward is tough, and I personally applaud anyone who can come forward, because it is a really tough thing. It's reliving an event,
right? And knowing that people are not necessarily going to be coming from a place of understanding.
Right.
That's certainly true for men who try to come forward. People either think it can't happen to them, or that it says something negative about their masculinity or their sexuality, when in fact it doesn't. They, just like a woman or a person of any gender, had something done to them. And if we could honor that, and instead of asking people what they did to, quote, get themselves into the situation, replace that thought with, who did that other people think they were? What gave them the thought that they had the right, that they were entitled to take that which is not given freely?
Well, we are out of time, but I don't want to wrap this up before you give out your help numbers.
Yeah, thank you. So we are a private nonprofit with free and confidential services available to people of all ages, all genders, all circumstances. Our hotline number serving Humboldt County is 707-445-2881. And our hotline serving Del Norte is 707-465-2581. And we really welcome anyone who has been impacted, whether directly or indirectly, by any form of sexual abuse, harassment, or assault, to give us a call, and we'll be there to listen, believe, and support.
All right. Paula, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. And I'll look forward to being here again tomorrow.
That's right. And speaking of tomorrow we have our two-hour panel discussion dealing with the subject of male privilege. We've got, I will be here, my wife Amy will be here, Paula will be back. We'll be talking with Max Schnur as well from Humboldt State University, and we may have one more guest. That one's not confirmed yet. It should be a very interesting discussion. We will kind of go over the entire spectrum of male privilege and what that means. It will be an open discussion for the entire county, and you, of course, will be welcome to call in, ask questions, make comments, that sort of thing. That gets underway tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and it goes until 10 right here on KHUM.